Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation is written in Paul's second letter to Timothy in the fourth chapter, beginning at the first verse. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Here ends our text. In Jesus' name, dear Christian friends, what a great number of themes there are in this text for men entering into the holy ministry. Certainly that of preaching the word. It is the word that we share. It is not us, not opinions, but what God's word has to say. That we speak clearly, distinctly, and purposefully in the mind to the minds and hearts of those that God has brought before us. We are to correct and rebuke and encourage, Paul says. It's all a part of all of our preaching and teaching. And after 29 years in the ministry of our Lord, I am humbled, as I always have been humbled, by this charge. It is our marching orders, you, my colleagues. So are we humbled because our sinful flesh says this either cannot or should not be. This tremendously high goal needs to be set aside or somehow made palatable in an age and time and with people who do not want to hear. Let's face the fact that our sinful nature, knowing it will always be trying to draw us away from the proclamation of this word of God, his law, his gospel, and away from the fulfillment of our calling. We are to preach God's word, the whole counsel of God, first and always. Forget about the gimmicks that people say are the things that will attach individuals to the word, as if the word doesn't do the work. When our people go out of our churches, let them remember the message and not our style of preaching. Preach in season and out of season. The very fact that it is said says that there is a constant force from the enemies of God, the devil, the world, and our flesh, to say that the word somehow should be changed or manipulated because it doesn't work in sometimes in some places. And of course, the devil would have us believe never. The challenges come, and we must stand against the threat, because trying to overcome it with anything that we are humanly will fail. The Spirit will use the word to make it real. It is the word that is the wondrous balm, although we also know as God's people that there are times when that is not, we are not going to see the fulfillment of that in our people. But that is not what we are charged to do, but rather to bring that message to them and let the Spirit work with it. The Apostle Paul also speaks of itching ears. People are constantly looking for something that they want to hear, that they would like to use in some various ways against the will of God. The challenge of paganism is always before us. It has always been. It continues to be in a vast number of forms of people. in different ways and times in their lives. The constant of God's message needs to meet these challenges with consistency, the same in season and out of season, that gives the promise of truth. So, how do we accomplish the goals in the ministry to lead worship and service to God as we serve people? God is the director of our ministry. No matter how we might think that we are clever or organized, let us understand it's God's ministry. And there are many times that we will be drawn away from the things that we think ought to be done at that particular time into others. It takes patience, it takes commitment. Let us not expect that people will get what we say the first time we say it. Repetition is an absolute must. It is in everything. It is also in what God has to say and the sharing of it. Those of you who are parents know and understand how often you have to say certain things to your children. Also, like the parental pattern, in congregations, God's people, in relation, in true relationship, need to be established between the pastor and his people. Your people need to know that you love them. It is important that you take the time to say that when it is an appropriate time to do it, but most of all, to show it in the way you treat people, and how they understand that you have come as a servant, not as a master. Also, like that pattern, before you move your people, they need to know and trust you. That is going to take time. There are no shortcuts. I adjure you to go out to your people, to meet with them in their homes, to have them get to know you, but more importantly, for you to get to know them. For how can you minister to them in their situations if you do not know them? You do not know what they need. Establish that trust in the earliest days of your ministry. Make that a priority. There are many things that will call upon you for your time, but there is no greater need than you knowing your people. Patience, then, and instruction are the keys in bringing people to God's word, ready to hear and to respond. Let there be no dictatorial pronouncements out of the blue. Let those places that need change come after trust has been established. So what can you expect in these days ahead? You have had some experience with that in your home congregations and on vicarage. You know how the relationship between pastor and people can go. Recognize that the pastoral office is a tremendous privilege. How many people get to speak to individuals over and over, week in and week out, on important things like we will and do? Let me just share as an illustration of the slice of life out of one parish pastor's life, mine. In the week when Dr. Wenthy called and asked me to be the preacher at this service, it was in the first couple of weeks of Lent, and it was the week that the war in Iraq started. That Sunday, before Pastor Wenthy called, I got the call that one of our dear members, actually the last charter member of our congregation, had died in the hospital. It was just that as I was sitting down for lunch after church, as I drove into the hospital to meet with a family, I sought the Lord's guidance as how to meet with these people who, of course, were grieving. But as I got there, this family being a very rock-solid Christian family, they were sorrowful over losing this wonderful lady who had been a member of our congregation 65 years. But they also rejoiced that she was with the Lord. And so we ministered to one another. The next day, I got a call about a stillborn, 4 months along. As I traveled to the hospital on that occasion, I prayed that I would have the opportunity not only to give comfort, but also to deal with the fact that this gal had not been in to the church for quite some time. Her commitment to the Lord was certainly suspect. And I had my opportunity to do both. And I felt as I went away from there that it had gone well. But I must confess to you that nothing has changed in her life in regard to the church since then. That evening, I got a call from one of our men who has been dealing with a very difficult situation at work. He has a boss who wants to get rid of him and is doing a great job at doing that. He was burdened, as he had been for a long time. We had talked many times on this subject. He had called late enough. He didn't expect me to come. He just wanted to tell me what was going on. And we prayed together over the phone, something I still don't feel comfortable doing. I saw him face to face the next day after he got home from work. And he told me that it's always been a part of his life that whenever he had need, he would seek it through the church and through his pastor. And there were two war-related incidents. One of our guys was in Europe at the time, waiting to go into Iraq. His mother, very supportive of him, his parents, his whole family, of him doing what he was doing and the war effort. But she was scared for him. And we talked and we prayed. And I must tell you that our congregation has been wonderful with his family and done great things to support them in their need. Then there was a girl from our church who is a flight attendant in a small airline that had chartered a plane. The government had chartered the plane to transport troops and family and related people from Europe, in and out of Europe, into various places. She had been in Kosovo and Turkey and Kuwait. But now the war had started and she was scheduled to go into Kuwait again, and she was scared. And her mother had called to tell me what was going on, to say that her husband was coming home. I asked if I could come over and she said yes. And when I walked in the house, she was on the phone with the girl and she handed me the phone, and I had the opportunity to speak directly to her to assure her of the love of her Lord and that all things would go as he knew were best for her. And after she was done talking with her parents, I had the opportunity to also talk with them and pray with them. I'd always been close to this family, but now we are even closer. Along with these events, there were a couple of sermons to prepare and to preach, as it was Lent. 3 Bible studies to prepare for and do, confirmation, a various assortment of meetings, as there always are. On that Sunday after Dr. Wenthy's call, I confirmed 2 men into our congregation. And this week was very different from the week before it, very different from the week after it. But the Lord has a great variety of work for us to do. The counseling has continued to be quite heavy since then. So there are many opportunities, my brothers in the ministry, to preach and to teach, to guide, and to care for. Many forms. They need the application of God's word. Our triune God moves us through the means of grace, word and the sacraments, applied in the lives of real people in a very human way. We, as earthen vessels, are given that time. Keep the faith, men of God. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist, as you are called upon and led by God to do. Discharge all your duties, because Jesus died and rose for you. just as he died and rose for those that you serve. For you are privileged to share those wonderful truths to others. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.